Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Read you a scripture here. Let's get going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Jesus' behalf, to be reconciled to God." Holy Spirit, I trust you to use me today to speak something from Father's heart. Give you praise and glory. And thank you for it. Thank you for it. We are ambassadors. Now, this message is going to take a different turn than you're expecting that we always hear when we hear about ambassadors, because when we hear about we're ambassadors, we always focus on what we're supposed to do. We're going to focus on something else today, okay? We are ambassadors for God, for Jesus Christ. I'll make a statement here. As believers, how many here are believers? As believers, we are the most important people on this planet. Now think about it. The planet is in trouble without us. Now I know that sounds kind of bold and that sounds kind of strange, but we are the most important people on this planet. The statistics say there's 7 billion people alive on the earth. And only 2.3 billion of them believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know who counted them, but that sounds about right to me, doesn't it, you? And since I don't want to count them, I'll just take those figures. But only 2.3 billion, about a third of the people on the earth, believe in Jesus Christ. Now, listen, here's the thing. The only Jesus... the only Jesus that people will see as they live their lives is the Jesus they see in you and in me. That makes us pretty important. Okay? Matter of fact, without us living in faith, without us letting God miraculously manifest Himself in our lives, without that, billions of people will never get a glimpse of how glorious and how powerful God is. I want to talk to you today about the gift of believing. Because without believing, this world is without hope. So we often hear the work that God has for us. We often hear, what am I supposed to do for God? But what the work that God has for us is for us to live our lives in our neighborhoods, in our towns, in our states, our countries, on our job, in the marketplace, and to live our lives in front of these people and continuously speak and act like His representatives on the earth. And we are to continue to demonstrate His miraculous power in our lives. To accomplish that, He's given us the gift of believing. You see, because all things are possible to you if you will just believe. What I'm saying is we are responsible to let God do big things in our life so that the world can see how He really is. Are you with me? We've been given the gift to be able to believe. And with that gift, we can produce life and blessing. With that gift, we can deliver the goodness of God to everyone around us. Let them see it. With that gift of believing, He can bring change into our lives. Transfer us from death to life. And that gift is for everyone. And we all have the ability to believe. Now I want you to listen real close. And I won't have to take a lot of time to say it if you'll listen close. I'm not talking about something you have to do. I'm talking about something God wants to do. He didn't say, "Perform for me and I will do." That was the Old Testament. What the New Testament, what the New Covenant says is, He says, "I'll perform for you and it'll cause you to do." Now, I'm not saying that performance isn't important, because it is. But God's given me some new thinking, some new rhema, if you will. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." I always read that. I got to keep His commandments. But He spoke it to me a different way the other day. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Some of you didn't catch it yet, but you will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you're not keeping my commandments, don't worry about it. You just don't love me enough yet. So love me some more. Love me some more. And love me some more. It's not, God's not, God says, "I will do. Will you believe?" Jesus said in Mark 9, He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Matthew 21, 22, it's recorded that He said, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Mark 11, 24, it's recorded that Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have it, and it will be yours." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't say, "Hank, do this so this will happen." He said, "If you'll just believe." If you'll just believe. What a gift. What a gift. Now you have to hear this. The goodness of God. Are you hearing? Are you listening? The goodness of God is not of works. If it were, we would all boast. But instead, it is a gift from God. Now it starts with believing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the process begins. But then at the same time, we believe that just like He died on the cross for our sins, He took those stripes so that we could be healed. And Jesus never separated really sin from sickness. He said, you go your way, you be healed and go your way and sin no more. And so this process of believing begins. You see, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, that's not the end of this thing. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of you stepping in to the supernatural realm where God can bypass all the natural things in our life and do supernatural things in our life. Are you hearing? It's going to hit you. Might not even hit you this morning, but it's going to hit you. The primary goal of God's perfect plan or His perfect will. How many ever heard somebody say, Lord, I want to know Your perfect will for my life? Anybody ever hear that? The primary goal of God's perfect plan, His perfect will for our lives, is for Him to be able to demonstrate the glory of God. Amen. Now, His glory is His goodness. Amen. His primary objective, His primary goal, His will is to be able to show His glory on this earth. To accomplish that goal, He needs us. You hearing me? Now, I'm talking to people today that have always been thinking like you didn't live up and feeling like you weren't quite enough and knowing how inadequate you were and realizing how unworthy you were. I'm talking to a bunch of people that are beginning to change their mind, and the Holy Spirit's beginning to show us who we are in Christ Jesus. He's beginning to show us who we are and how our Heavenly Father feels about us. To accomplish this goal, for Him to show His glory in the earth, He needs us. The only place He can show His goodness, the only place His goodness can be manifested is in the lives of His kids. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, see if you remember Jesus saying this. He said, ask what you will and I'll do it so Father can be glorified. Is that in your book? So now you have to get this, because this is different thinking. Not really, but you'll see how it blends the next few days and few weeks and few months as you begin to change your mindset. But you need to hear this. Ephesians 2 tells us that you and I are His workmanship. He says that He created us to walk in all the good things that He had done, the good works that He had prepared for us beforehand. He created you to walk in His glory. He created you to walk in His goodness. He created you so that He could do big things in your life. And so that everybody that looked at you would look at you and say, "Whoo! What kind of God do they serve?" Now I know there's still a few of you that aren't worthy, but that's okay. We'll work it out here in the next month or two. You have to hear the heart of God. Jeremiah 29, God said this. He said, I know the thoughts that I think about you. He says, they're thoughts of peace. That word peace means completeness. It means soundness. It means welfare. It means safety. It means soundness of body. It means welfare, health, and prosperity. It means tranquility. It means contentment. It means relationship with the Father. He said, I know the thoughts that I think about you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, not of bad, not of disapproval, not of unpleasantness, not of unhappiness. They're not sad thoughts. They're good thoughts. And they're thoughts to give you, to bestow upon you, to put into you a future and a hope. Whew, what a God. What a God. I think it'd just be good to take just a second and just tell him what a good God he is. Just give him a little bit of praise. Just give him a little bit of praise. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. He wants to give to you. Some of you look kind of like a deer caught in the headlights here. I said, he wants to give to you. He said, that's why I gave you the gift of believing. Because if you can just believe, all things, everything will be possible for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He wants to manifest his presence. He wants to manifest his goodness. He wants people to see his abundance. He wants the world to see who he really is. Who he is in all of his glory and all of his honor. They had never seen him until Jesus showed up. The world didn't even know God because they didn't even recognize him when he showed up. And Jesus said, hey, it's not just going to end with me. You're not just going to do the things that I did. You're going to be able to do greater things than these because I'm going to be with the Father. He wants to manifest his glory and his splendor. All he needs is some ambassadors to do it through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He needs a receptacle. He needs an outlet. One definition of receptacle, I loved it. It was the end of a flower stalk upon which the floral organs are born. Can you picture a lily and that little ball that comes up on the end? That's going to give birth to this beautiful flower. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that when he put the measure of faith in you, that became that organ that was going to produce the flowers in your life, going to produce the goodness in your life. He says, will you just believe? If you just understood what this gift of belief is, I've given you the gift of faith. You have it. He just needs a receptacle. He just needs an outlet. How many like the lights in here? How many like the lights in here? You know, all the electricity coming to this building, we would never see it manifest. We would never know it was in here until somebody clicked on the lights. And these lights are the outlets. They're the expression of what all this electricity's doing. Jesus said, Hank, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let them see me. Let them see my bigness. Let them see my goodness. Let them see my abundance. I envision somebody shouting and getting excited. And hey, this is a little shocking when you start thinking different. But think about this. The way you think produces. As a man thinks in his heart, so he will be. Well, look at yourself. The way you thought has produced the way you are. So if it's good, stay that way and keep thinking that way. If it's not, change it. Change it. And believe. Believe. See, I'm not believing in what Hank can do. I'm not believing in any abilities Hank has. I'm not believing in any abilities, any talents that I have, any gifts that I have. No, I'm believing in the one that gave those to me. I'm believing in the one that can do all these things. I'm not believing that my prayer of faith is what saves you. I'm believing that the one that paid those stripes is the one that saves you and the one that heals you and the one that does big things in your life. And that's because I pray the prayer, that isn't me healing you or saving you. That is the one who paid the price. Understand what I'm saying? God needs an exit point. He's got all this bottled up. He says, I need a way to show it. That's why I created you. I need a way to do it. That was our original state, by the way. And sin killed it. But Jesus came and destroyed sin so it could come alive again. He's given us the gift of believing so that he could demonstrate his glory. God's always had an ambassador. He's always had somebody to demonstrate. Let's look at, if you look at Abraham, God shows up to Abraham. And he says, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Now, don't misunderstand. The promise, the blessing to Abraham was, is through your seed. Through your line, I'm going to send a Savior for the world. Through your loins, I'm going to send somebody, the Messiah. He's going to save the world. So let's don't forget what the blessing was. But Abraham believed him. Abraham believed him. And there were things that happened in his life because the presence of God was with him. But Abraham believed him. Paul said in Romans 4:3, he said, for what does the Scripture say? Now he's quoting Genesis 15:6 here. He says, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The gift of belief. That's the gift of belief. But everyone who ever believed God, things happened in their life. He was able to manifest himself in their life. Abraham, my goodness. And I don't have time. I'll just mention a few things. But God's presence on Abraham, and everywhere Abraham went, people looked at him and knew there was something special about Abraham. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, it says that a king gave him sheep and oxen and female and male donkeys and servants and herds and flocks and camels. In the 13th chapter, it says, and Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. I want you to understand what the presence of God produced in Abraham's life. When he went somewhere, people knew. They knew that the God of Israel was his God. They knew. It even affected his family. His son Lot went with him, and we know the story. And the Bible says that Lot was very blessed, and it says that they had Lot and Abraham had so many possessions, they had so much stuff that the land couldn't hold them, and they had to split and go different ways. Listen to me. I'm just talking about the pattern that God has set. And God took Abraham when he said, look. He said, as far as you can see, belongs to you. I give it to you. I ask you today, how far can you see? How far can you believe? Why don't you look as far as you can see and believe as far as you know how to believe, and then let God come on the scene and do exceedingly abundantly above more than you could ask or think. That's in your book. He told Abraham, he said, now you just go walk through the land, and every place your foot touches belongs to you. Are you hearing me? There ought to be some of you this week that are staking out some property. There ought to be somebody listening to me that's staking it out. I told the story about one morning, there was a piece of property close to a car lot I had, and I'd asked God for it, and I'd prayed for it, and I said, God, I don't know who owns that, and I don't know how to find out who owns that, and I don't know, but God, I'd sure like to have that. One morning, and before daylight, he woke me up, and he said, go walk around that property and claim it. Here I am in the dark, walking around this, but it's a wonder I didn't get shot or arrested. Within 3 weeks, somebody came into the car lot and said, somebody says you buy property. And I said, yeah, sometimes. He said, I'd like to sell this property right over here. I'm telling you, how far can you see? You've got the gift of believing. How much can you believe? Now, trust me, I'm not talking about a 30-day wave your wand, magic something, genie coming out of a little tube or something. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about walking through life with a confidence. I serve the Most High God. He's alive in me. He wants me to prosper. He wants to bless me. He wants to show His goodness through me. And He wants to put so much in your path that you just have to channel it off. Just channel it off and just give it away and get it out of the way. Because your land can't hold it. Well, Abraham's enemies feared him. Whenever he went somewhere, everybody knew who his God was. They knew who he served. Huh? Man, never back up from God's blessing. Somebody says, oh man, somebody told me here not long ago, I was in a different town. They said, I was teasing about, they'd gone to the bank, and I said, well man, did you get me any money there? And they said, oh, you got plenty of money. And I said, you're right. God says I got plenty. I got plenty. Cattle on 1,000 hills are His, and He gives them to me all the time. All the silver and gold is His, and He just chunks it off and throws it to me all the time. Huh? Prophesy. I usually tell them, prophesy. Keep prophesying. Don't go, oh, no, I just don't have nothing. I'm just poor. I'm just baloney. Look at him and say, yeah, well, you want to know why I got it? It's because of my King and my Savior. His name's Jesus. He'll give you some too if you want it, if you can dare to believe for it. Are you hearing me? So this sounds like a little, I'm trying to change your thinking. You have the gift to believe. Everywhere Abraham went, the presence of God was with him. And people knew it. His son Isaac was the same. One quick story about Isaac, well, a couple maybe. Man, I've been reading all these stories all week, and I got to hurry here. But Isaac in the Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land. And what Abraham had done when there was a famine in his day, he went to Egypt. So Isaac started to go to the other land too, and God said, no, you stay here and you sow in this land. And it says that Isaac sowed in the famine. He sowed his seed. He planted his seed in the old dry parched ground. And the Bible says in the same year, God returned to him 100-fold. In the middle of a famine. In the middle of a drought. You've been having a drought? Hallelujah. Just get a grin on your face and say, "Woo! I'm sowing in this famine. And in the same year, I'm reaping 100-fold. Yeah, Clay's getting it. He's getting it. Take some of this back to Tulsa and spread it around there, will you? Praise God. We need to teach all those faith people in Tulsa some stuff about God. The Bible says that he began, I love this phrase, it says that Isaac began to prosper and he continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You wouldn't be able to sit still if you were hearing what I'm saying. He said he prospered, and then he prospered some more, and then he prospered some more, and here's $1,000. Oh, but here's another $1,000. Oh, but here's another $1,000. Oh, but here's another $1,000. And pretty soon, he was very prosperous. Bible said he had flocks and herds and great numbers of servants. And the Philistines, they had filled up all the wells that Abraham had dug. And it says that the king told Isaac, they were so envious of, they told him, they said, "You get out of here. Leave. Get out of here." And old Isaac went and started re-digging the wells that Abraham had dug. This is a time of famine, remember? And he started redigging the wells. And when he would redig a well, the Philistines would come in and take that well away from him. So he'd just go find another one and redig it. And in the 19th verse of, I think it's the 19th verse of the 26th chapter of Genesis, it says that his men said that they dug a well and the water ran from it. Now listen, what Jewish tradition teaches is that in this region, this famine, this drought was going on, and they dug this well and tapped into an artesian well, and that water began to flow, and that it provided water for the whole region. So much of it, everybody around got some of it. And it says that the king looked at him and said, "Hey, I want you to come back." Huh? He looked at him and said, "Hey, I want you to come back." He said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. Let's make an oath because you are blessed of the Lord." I'm talking about an ambassador for God. I'm talking about somebody. Somebody ought to be ready to volunteer. Another story, Jacob, real quick. Man, Jacob, we all know the story, and there's a whole bunch of stories of Jacob. But Jacob goes over and he sees this gal he wants to marry, and Laban tricks him. You know the whole story. But anyway, after all this period of time, that Jacob's been there. Now Jacob decides he's going to leave. He's going to take his two wives. He's going to take all his kids. He's going to take all his wealth. And Laban says to him, he says this, he says, "Please stay. I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." He begged him not to leave. What about Joseph? We all know the story of Joseph. Joseph's one of my heroes. We know he had a dream. His brothers got mad, and they're going to kill him, and they threw him in a pit instead. And then they the Egyptians came by. The slave traders came by. They sold him into slavery. He gets over into Egypt. He gets over into Egypt, and it says this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that everything he did prospered. So Joseph found favor in the master's sight, and the master made him overseer of all his house, all his stuff. He said, the blessings of the Lord was on everything he did. So we know the story. The master's wife kind of wants Joseph, and he runs away, and she makes up a lie about him and says he attacked her and all this stuff, and they put Joseph in prison. While he's in prison, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. In prison, it says the keeper of the prison saw that the Lord was in him and put him in charge of the whole prison. Amen. He gets out of prison, and Pharaoh says that he becomes the second most powerful guy in all of Egypt. Amen. See, I'm telling you, God will take you from all the way at the bottom and put you all the way at the top. I'm telling you about a God that will take you when you don't have anything and give you everything you can believe for and let you be a blessing to everybody that you get around and everybody that sees you. I'm talking about a God that'll take you. You can come into church with two pair of jeans with patches on them and three flannel shirts, a dog and a fiddle, and in years he'll have you as the pastor of that place. I'm telling you about a God that nobody or nothing can hold you down if you can only believe. Whew, I'm going to get excited here. So, and we could go on and on and on with all the Davids and the Solomons and all the other guys. But all those people... all those people were blessed because it started off with Abraham believing God. And then they believed God. And it came all the way to Jesus. And now he's transferred it to us. Can you just believe? Can you just believe? Listen to this now, and we're close to being done. All these blessings came on people because the presence of God, the glory of God was on them and with them. And he had somebody that he could show his goodness through, and all these things came on these people because of it. But that was old covenant. New covenant's different. New covenant, Jesus said, he'll not only be with you, he'll be in you. Let me read you something. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. Paul said this. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Listen now. For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them. And be ye separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. For I will be your father, a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Wow. Folks, God just needs some ambassadors. God just needs some volunteers that will say. See, I always read that. And being an ambassador was all being an ambassador was always just so hard because it doesn't matter what I do, it isn't enough. It doesn't matter how good I do it, it wasn't good enough, no matter anything. But he's saying, would you just believe me, Hank? I've given you the gift of believing. Would you just believe? Would you just be my ambassador? Would you just be my outlet? Would you just be somebody that I could let the world see me through? I guess the question is, God needs some ambassadors. Amen. Will you be one? Will you be one? He needs somebody he can demonstrate his goodness through. Will you be his receptacle? Huh? Will you be his outlet? Huh? I believe inside of you are those artesian wells that I was having trouble remembering what they were. Because out of you, rivers of living water will flow. You say, well, Hank, this is just all big. Yeah. Wonder what would happen if we'd start thinking big for a change. Huh? See, God knows right where you are, and there's nothing wrong with being where you are. You're just a success story in the making, though. Amen. See, because you're going to be able to say, yeah, I just had patches on my jeans, and now look. Huh? You're going to be able to say, I didn't have anything to put in the offering, and now look, I'm putting in more than I used to make. You're going to be one that's able to say, hey, I used to not be able to help anybody, and now I'm able to help everybody. Oh, if one or two of you would catch this, if just one or two of you would catch this, it'll spread like wildfire. It spread like wildfire. God says, I just need some ambassadors. Will you be one? If you'll be one, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. And while they're standing, if you don't want to be one, you stand too. Everybody else stand. Does this put a different light on the will of God and on the being an ambassador? And does this put it? Are you starting to understand what Paul meant when he said, "It's not of works, lest any one of us could boast"? Yes, it starts with believing Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And then it progresses to believe in God that your body is healthy. And then it believes, it transfers then to everything your hand begins to touch prospers and is blessed. And even when you don't feel like it, and when you don't think it's there, people look at you and go, "Woo, there's something different about her. Woo, there's something different about him." Even when you're not even paying attention and you don't even know it there, it's there. The lost people see. And they look at us and they say, "Whoo, I don't know about this. They're not talking about a bunch of meat and drink. They're not talking about a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. Man, they're talking about a living Savior. They're talking about a Jesus that rose from the dead. They're talking about somebody that's doing big things in their life. And I want some of that." And the world will say, "Jesus, I want you." Well, Holy Spirit, I did what I know to do. So now I ask you to take the seeds that are planted and help them grow. Help them grow in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father, that everyone listening to me, me included, that we'll make our mind up, we'll make the decision that we want to be all we can be for you. And that we want your light to shine through our lives. And Lord, right now I pray for that person, Lord, that doesn't know you yet. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd touch their heart. And that you would draw them with your love. And that even though they came in here not knowing for sure today, they'll leave here knowing for sure. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just speak to all of our hearts. Those of us that have grown a little colder, backed away a little bit, I just ask that you'd speak to all of our hearts and pull us back close. Pull us back close. That one that's listening to me, Father, that just kind of gave up and they haven't been living for you. Let this be the morning. Let this be the day that they come back to you. Holy Spirit, we give you. We give you thanks for revealing the Father to us. For revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We thank you for coming and bringing their presence on the inside of us. While your eyes are closed and your head's bowed, who in here, you either don't know that you're right with the Lord or you've known but you've gotten away. Nobody's looking. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? You say, I just want to rededicate my life today, Lord. I want to give my heart back to you. If that's you, thank you, ma'am. Who else? Who else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? I just want to give it back to you. If you're that one that just knows, I just need to rededicate my life today, Lord, and I just want to rededicate my life to you today. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay, who else? Okay, who else? I'm going to ask, many of you raised your hands and some of you didn't, but maybe you wanted to. We're just going to sing an invitation here. We're going to sing a verse. And if you don't know Jesus and want to, I'm going to ask that you just come down. It won't take very long. We won't keep you late. We won't embarrass you. If you're here and you just know that you've just kind of got off course and you just want to rededicate your life, if that's you, I'm going to ask that you just come down as we sing this verse and just let one of us pray with you because we love you and we want God to we want you to walk out of here different than you came in. And whoever that is that God's been dealing with you about getting baptized in water, but don't leave today without us letting us baptize you today. We've got everything that you need. But whatever you need, I don't want you to leave here today without it. I want you to believe for it now. And somebody here, you just need somebody to agree with you about something. And if you'll come down, we'd like to do that too. So you see, I've said several things. So nobody knows what you're coming for and nobody will think anything anyway. But if you don't know Jesus or you've gotten away from Him, this is your chance. This is the easiest time you'll ever have to come and get things right with Him. So as we sing, I'm just going to say, come. Come to the Lord. Come on, yeah, you raised your hand. Come on. You didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to. Come on, let one of us pray with you. If you just take the first step, God will take the second one with you. Sing it to Him. Do you believe? As we close today, there's several of you that I know that you started to step out and you didn't. But even after we close here, come on down. Let one of us pray with you, because we want you to walk out of here different than you came in. Everybody in here, do you know that you're the temple of the living God? Do you know that God wants to do big things through you and in you, through your life? How many here say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. Thank you for listening to me today. I'm believing this sound will get better, but I'm believing that some seed has been planted that'll grow in your life. And you'll be more because of it. Your life will be changed because of it. So right now, I speak His blessing into you. And I just believe Him to touch you, your family. I believe Him to make you a blessing to everybody you get around. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And I thank you, God, that you're raising up this people and that you're doing a mighty work in our midst. And we give you all the credit. We give you all the glory. And we thank you.